Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
So here we are on the first Sunday in August. It's high summer, and it's a delight to say welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and we're delighted to bring you this broadcast. Whether you're listening on Sunday morning on CJMQ, or taking another time in the week and following a recording from the website, and wherever in the world you join me from, I'm glad to have you listening in these times. Here are words from the Psalms. The psalmist says to the Lord, "The day is yours, and yours also the night. You established the sun and moon. It was you who set all the boundaries of the earth. You made both summer and winter." Let us pray. Lord of creation, who inspired the dreams of our mothers and fathers, we come to seek for you today. For you, Lord, existed before all creation. You, God, travelled with patriarchs and prophets and disciples, and with all the mothers and fathers of our faith before us. And you, God, have travelled with each of us. Even when we turned away and ignored you, your creative power has supported us. You, O God, are overflowing with love, infinite in kindness and incomparable in glory. You are the source of all good things. There is none like you in all our imagining. You bring forth new life from death, and you offer us hope. In you, all things work together for good. Your presence breaks into our lives in many ways, and you touch us with wonder. This we know because you've revealed yourself in your Son Jesus, and by his cross and resurrection. You are a loving God, and so we can confess to you that we're not always faithful to you, that we do not always love our neighbours as ourselves. Loving God, forgive us our sins, and set us anew on the path you dream for us. Scripture says that the Spirit comes to help us, weak as we are. So send your Spirit to fill us all with hope and love and joy, that we might be set free to be your children in the world. God of Jacob, you speak in the light of day and in the dark of night, when our sleeping is filled with dreams of heaven and earth. May Jacob's vision remind us to be open and watchful, ready to discover your presence in our midst. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are looking at Jacob in these days. What sort of man was he? Well, he was a trickster. Not once, but twice he manipulated his brother Esau out of what he was rightfully entitled to, and he deceived his own father Isaac. When his brother Esau found out, he was justifiably furious, and he vowed to kill Jacob, and so Jacob went on the run. Did God give up on this trickster? No. We said last week that God met with this unworthy fellow and with unmerited favour promised that somehow the purpose of God was to be worked out in his life. So Jacob followed his mother's instructions and ran to his uncle's people back in the land they had come from. And there he was given the kind of welcome in the family that he might have longed for in his own family of origin, if only he hadn't treated them so badly. Genesis chapter 29 and verse 10. When Jacob saw Rachel, daughter of his uncle Laban, and Laban's sheep, he went over and rolled the stone away from the mouth of the well and watered his uncle's sheep. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud. He had told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and a son of Rebekah, so she ran and told her father. As soon as Laban heard the news about Jacob, his sister's son, he hurried to meet him. He embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his home. And there Jacob told him all these things. And then Laban said to him, "You are my own flesh and blood." After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, "Just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be." Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder one was Leah, and the name of the younger one was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel, and he said, "I'll work for you 7 years in return for your younger daughter Rachel." And Laban said, "It's better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me." So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to make love to her." So Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and Jacob made love to her. And Laban gave his servant Zilpah to his daughter as her attendant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the elder one. Finish this daughter's bridal week, then we will give you the younger one also, in return for another 7 years of work." And Jacob did so. He finished the week with Leah, and then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife.
Share a meal and friendship, and to warm some empty space. But people seeking beauty, and to offer what we hold, such gifts as we've been given, hearts of love and gifts of gold. Joins us in the sharing of this meal, this God who fashioned all we know with loving unconcealed. So as we break this bread of life, we're drawn to seek its goal, that all would share feasting hearts of love and gifts of gold.
If TV schedules are anything to go by, we love stories of good and evil, right and wrong. Cop shows of a multitude of hues command the schedules. CSI, NCIS, all have the good guys chasing down the bad guys. Nice, clear, sharp, well-defined lines between right and wrong, truth and falsehood. But some other cop shows, like Chicago PD and Blue Bloods, try to deal with the ambiguity of policing, the edges and the fudges and the compromises that can be made to get some kind of justice than simply right and wrong, guilty or not guilty. They're perhaps harder to watch, but I think they make for better drama. We like to define the line and stick to the right side of it. Many, many times throughout the Bible, God is identified as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the title serves to remind the people of their great forebears who were the foundation of their nation and of their faith. But Jacob was not the sort of character who would fit easily into the company of our idea of saints. Jacob is a morally ambiguous character, if ever there was one. Jacob seems to have swindled and scammed his way through much of his days. In today's episode, the boot is on the other foot, and it's Jacob who gets conned. Now, you need to put aside for a moment your distaste of stories from ancient cultures where women are commodities to be traded on the bridal market for the best dowry payment available and men can have as many wives as they can support. Jacob has worked unpaid for 7 years as a dowry payment in order to marry the beautiful Rachel. But his prospective father-in-laws know that he's going to have more trouble marrying off his less attractive daughter Leah. So he pulls a scam to con Jacob into marrying them both and paying top price for each. Now Jacob, of course, is outraged when he wakes up after his wedding night to find that he's married the wrong woman. But it's very much part of the deliberate irony of the story that Jacob is outraged over being treated exactly the same way that he has treated everyone else. When we hear him yell, "Why have you conned me?" we're supposed to think, "Well, that's a bit rich coming from you, Jacob." The measure Jacob has given to Esau is now being measured to him. After all, Jacob is the younger son who stole the elder brother's birthright, and now he who is going to take the younger daughter for a bride finds he has to take the elder daughter as a bride first. Well, that's irony for you. And Laban fixes it so that he gets 7 years more labor out of Jacob as well, 14 years for two sisters. Jacob is learning his lesson. What's going on? How do we deal with this ambiguity? Well, firstly, in your life story, can you look at some point when you got a lift up, when someone was able to make an opportunity for you that you didn't deserve? Did you have a grandmother who helped you to read? Did you have an uncle who helped you to get a good job in the family firm? Did you have an employer who funded night school? Did you get a bursary for further study? If you have achieved much more in your life than you ever thought you would, why would that be? Of course, you worked hard and honestly and decently, but without that opportunity that somebody gave you, you'd still be stuck where you were. Someone somewhere gave you a lift up. The odds were stacked against Jacob. He was a second son in a culture where that made you a second-class citizen, and his father clearly favoured his older brother. And maybe lying and cheating and scamming were the only ways that Jacob could undermine the structures that were set against him. All people are created equal, but not everyone has equal opportunity. What if you belong to a community, or perhaps a gender, or a racial group, or an immigrant, or an indigenous people, where you don't get the opportunity in the same way that other peoples do? There are people who work hard, diligently, and honestly in our culture, but never get the same progress in life as perhaps you did, because there isn't necessarily equal opportunity in our world. And so if honesty is constructed to ensure that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, perhaps God has to work with ambiguity in order to make justice. But before you think I'm justifying all kinds of wrongdoing in Jacob's life, let's secondly remind ourselves that Jacob allowed a pair of pretty eyes to shape his future for him. In New Testament terms, he let the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life determine his future. That's a phrase from the first letter of John. Jacob was so smitten with Rachel that he was blind to everything else, that he agreed for 7 years of work for his uncle so that he could marry her. He was bewitched by what he could see and what he wanted and what he lusted after. He lived for the now, every bit as much as his big brother did when he just wanted a bowl of soup. The lust of the eyes is the desire to possess what we see, to have those things that have visual appeal. The coveting of money or possessions or other physical things, they're not from God, but from the world around us. Our focus should not be on the newest product or the latest fashion. And you and I can be fooled by thinking something or someone is good because it looks good. Oh, it happens. You and I are all sinners in need of God's gift of grace. But Jacob let his emotions get the best of him, spending 14 years of his life in exchange for a pair of sisters, one of whom he really didn't like that much. What happens when our emotions get the best of us? But thirdly, do you notice there's not one word in this narrative that Jacob prayed to God for his will in this matter? Not once in the reading do we mention any word of God, his presence, or his purpose. God is a stranger in the narrative, even though he's in the midst of the story. Jacob took the presence of God for granted. God loves us enough to let us make choices, but he's also the one who makes us responsible for the choices we make. What would have happened if Jacob had sought God's will in the matter? We will never know down here, but we don't have to make the same mistakes Jacob did. When we seek God's will, he will make it known to us.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in
Let us pray. Creator God, we thank you that you are closer to us than our next breath, that you know us better than we know ourselves, that your love for all of us and for all your people whom you have made is deeper and higher and broader than we can ever imagine. We thank you for all your blessings to us, and that you're close to us in all our joys and sorrows. We thank you for Jesus Christ, for his life of care and mercy for those in need, for the forgiveness he won for us by dying on the cross, and for his wonderful resurrection that brings the hope of new life to all who believe, and that speaks to us of your love for the world and for each one of us. Hear our prayers for the church and the world. May your church be a place of mercy and forgiveness. May all who are distressed find in the Christian community the peace and comfort which you offer all people. And we pray for all who are seeking to plant new initiatives of faith and service in the church. We pray for those faithful folks who struggle to see green shoots amid the weeds that seem to often choke the work of the church. We thank you for those who supply us with the necessities of life, remembering farmers and all who bring us food in the supply chain. And we pray for fair trading systems to ensure that those who produce food are given a just reward for their labours. And we pray for those in our communities who struggle to feed their families, and for an economic system which is fair to them too. We pray for doctors and those who work in the medical and paramedical professions, both those who look after our bodies and those who tend minds. We thank you for all who work in healthcare, especially at a time of stress on our health services. We pray for all who are ill, who have long-term ill health, for those who suffer from pain in their bodies and those who suffer in mind and spirit. Bring them healing and a better quality of life. And we bring to you our own prayers, gathering up with them the prayers for our leaders in community, in nation, in church, and around the world. Give them wisdom and keep them honest. We pray for those who've recently been bereaved, for those who mourn for loved ones long gone, but not forgotten, and for those who feel that they've lost something else important in their life. We offer you our prayers, spoken and unspoken, in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. If you make your way to St. Andrew's Sherbrooke this morning on the 6th of August, I'm afraid I won't be there, but I commend to you the worship led by Mr. Peter Brown, who will be conducting worship while I'm absent on holiday. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. our church is located on Queen Street in Lenoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.